KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
What's it going to take to turn our city back to Christ? To straighten some of the things that have happened, like systemic problems, that it doesn't seem like how much money you throw at them, the problems change. 260 somewhat homicides in 2020. Whoa, we have a lot to believe God for. What are some initiatives that are happening around the area that you might want to key into? Is God still moving in the greater St. Louis area? My guest today is Pastor Marco Van Ralton, and he is a city missionary of St. Paul's E Free Church, but he has so many hats, I can't even tell you what they are. So let's meet him. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Thank you so much for joining me, Pastor Van Ralton. Thank you so much for coming today and sharing from your heart about some of the things that are happening in our greater St. Louis area.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, you're a city missionary of St. Paul's E Free Church. What does that really mean?
Well, I tell people I get the privilege of roaming around the city from north to south, east to west, with the different ethnic parts of our city, different problems, and see what can be done if we come together as one body of Christ, seeking both spiritual renewal, but also seeing missional impact in changing our city. So I spent a lot of time on the road, even though COVID slowed it down a little bit, a little more time on the Zoom, but still meeting a lot of wonderful God-anointed people all over this place.
So as you've been meeting with people all over the area, what is a major tenet that keeps coming up in your discussions?
I think unity. From the city-county divide to the historical, it's been amazing to me. I've walked in meetings from various denominations, and I keep hearing that same thing. We got to come together. Also in the area of racial unity, the racial tensions in our city is a key component. I hear that from city leaders. But I think a lot of the church leaders speak loudly as well of the importance of being one.
This city hasn't been known for its ability to unify, has it? Even I've lived here all of my life, and city and county and all that, they talked about merging of the city and the county, but it just seems like each area is an entity in its own.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. I've been at the privilege of living around the world in various places, and this is one of the most difficult that I've ever lived in when it comes to bringing people together. And the interesting thing is not that people don't want to. Everyone has a real desire for it. It's just somehow really hard to make that happen. I remember coming here in my first couple of months in the city, I would be in certain neighborhoods, and sometimes people wouldn't even know about the existence of someone just a couple blocks down the road with a very similar passion. It's been an interesting journey.
What are you trying to do as a city missionary? You mentioned how you're trying to hear people's stories and talk to them about what they think this area needs. What is your ultimate goal as a city missionary?
Well, the goal is twofold. On the one hand, you know, by uniting the church to see a spiritual renewal take place in the hearts of man, any problem is ultimately traced, the Bible is very clear, to the problem of the heart. I don't care what you talk about, whether it's crime, whether it's racial reconciliation, disunity, not wanting to give up our space, or the challenge of merging with others, their heart issues. So we're praying for a spiritual, for a transformation of the heart, a revival, if you wish. And then secondly, we really see missional impact happening in the city. What can we do together in the area of crime prevention, our youth and education, our business and our jobs, so many places that are hurting in this city?
Pastors have tried in the past to be working together on unity, but it seems like it hasn't really made a huge difference, or it hasn't been a lasting difference. What are you looking at? What are pastors and you looking at doing to make unity a lasting presence in our metro area?
That's a great question. I've heard that from prayer leaders in the city that have organized major events. Marco, the events were wonderful. People came together. There's a sense of God's presence. It's great to have everybody there. But then afterwards, what happens? And we all go back to our places, and it seems like there's this lull, if you wish. And so one of the things, I mean, God knows what he ultimately will do and what it will look like in the city. But we have been very intentional about seeing regional pastor collaboratives take shape. Some of them are already there. Sometimes we help start them. COVID has slowed some of that down, but there's a lot of godly people in the city that really have a desire to connect. And so we have identified 16 locations across the metro area where there is some form of collaborative, from the early stages of key pastors with a heart for it to it's actually taking place on a full scale already, and maybe it has for several years. And I believe, Judy, that that will be a key component, relationships on the ground where we know one another, we serve the same neighborhood, we're connected, we're accountable to one another. I think that's something that will last beyond a large event, if you wish. It's the same old key is relationships.
So the regional pastoral collaborative, what does the structure of that look like?
Well, I'm giving an example of one. It's in North County, led by Pastor Sergei Marchenko and BK Mark Eason. And a typical meeting will start with a devotion. One of the pastors will share, and it's not your typical sermon like, let me impress you with my 3 points from last Sunday and make you all stand in awe of my great explorative methods here, but it's often very open and honest and broken. This is my life. This is where I'm struggling. This is what the Word of God is teaching. And then we'll have a time to interact. And there may be 15 to 20 on the Zoom or at the meeting. And a lot of times I hear, yes, I share that struggle. I'm in the same way. We've talked about some of our COVID challenges. We've talked recently with this the storming of the Capitol. What does that look like in how we interpret that across our ethnic backgrounds? And very open discussions. We then pray for one another. There's a time for prayer. There's a time for mutual encouragement. Sometimes pastors don't have a place where they can go and just be open and honest and with one another. And so we do that. We also even have with in the larger groups, smaller groups, we call them cohorts of four pastors that try to meet once a month to really dive a little deeper in the relational. And then lastly, we look at our community and what can we do together, what's possible. So it gives a very hands-on approach, but we try to make sure that we start at the source first, which is Christ. So we want to connect a man to God or a pastor to God, number one. And then secondly, we want to connect pastor to pastor relationally. And then thirdly, connect pastor to the world. That's kind of the rough outline. And every place looks very different to what that looks like.
Pastor to God, pastor to pastor, and pastor to the world. What a breach of loneliness might be filled with this whole approach. Pastor to God, pastor to pastor, and pastor to the world. You know, loneliness is a big thing in pastors' lives, and even those of us who work in frontline work, loneliness is a big thing because there's not a lot of people that you can talk to that would understand the challenges you face.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of the spotlight factor. Typical pastor is out, is seen, is respected, and it's hard sometimes to share things about you, and you don't quite know what will happen to it, how people respond. So support for pastors is huge, a place where they can share and be open. And I think for anyone in a place of authority, it could be other jobs as well, but for pastors, definitely.
You have this regional collaborative in North County starting, and how often do they meet?
They've been meeting. It's an interesting story. BK Eason, African-American brother, after the shooting of Michael Brown, looked around at his community. Again, what you said earlier, what's here to last? Okay, everybody was coming in. I didn't not live in the city of St. Louis at the time or in the county, so I've heard this from him. And he went door to door, knocking at doors and saying, hey, pastor, I don't know you, but we ought to know one another. Let's get together. And out of that, they simply called them the North County pastors. Black and white, cross-racial. Some of them are church planters. Some of them are pastors of well-established churches, have been meeting ever since. And one of the first thing they started doing is say, hey, can we swap pulpits? Let's preach in one another's churches. We pray together.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. And then they have a Unity Sunday every year where we all come together and worship takes place with a band made out of different churches and different church members. And different pastors will share. And it's a big festive event where we celebrate. You know, in Christ, we've already been made one. We don't have to create unity. We just got to live it out. There's a big difference there, and that's what's happening.
You know what just popped into my mind when you talked about the festival, that we do once a year? I'm thinking of so many times in the Old Testament. They had festivals and celebrations, and those were times of unifying the Israelites together too, weren't they?
Yes. How lovely is it when brothers dwell together? There is the Lord's blessing. There is a real joy, and I can't tell you how many times I've seen that happen. I also can't tell you how many times pastors have told me, you know, this is a place where I can share my heart, where I can be open and I can be vulnerable. I would have left the ministry if it wasn't for this place where I can do that and be at. Wow. And I think our people need to see that. Our church members need to see their pastors connecting. And in a city that's known or maybe struggling with some of our divisiveness, the symbol and a physical show of that unity is a great faith booster and encouragement for all of us and for this world.
If people would like to learn more about the pastoral collaborative that might be forming in their area, how do they find out?
Well, a good way might be to actually email me at my email address, which is marcovanralten@gmail.com. And just let me know the pastor's name and where he's at. I have a map in my office where we're looking at that. We would like to start a website. That's Future Dream, where people could go and find the local initiatives and places to link up. So talk to me in a couple of months, and we may be in a different place.
Awesome. And that's Marco, VanRaalten at gmail.com.
Perfect.
Yes, there's two
I'm impressed.
A's in it. Would you join me, Pastor Van Ralten, for another segment? We're going to talk about Pray for the Lou, 10 Days of Prayer, and the monthly prayer meeting that's in our area.
Would love to.
All right. Hey, I'm Judy Rudlick. This is Encounter. See you after the break.
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlick.com or email me at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com.
This is Encounter. I'm Judy Rudlick. Thanks for joining me. Pastor Marco Van Ralten, city missionary with St. Paul's Evangelical and Reformed Church, is my guest, and that's up in Creve Coeur, right, Pastor?
That's
Van
right.
Ralten? And city missionary, that gives you a lot of great things to do, doesn't it?
I get to have a lot of fun.
Now, before we get into Pray for the Lou and a couple of other things, what brought you to St. Louis?
That's a long story. I don't know where you want to start, but I was born and raised, you know, I have a little accent. I talk funny, tell people, but I was born and raised in Holland, across the pond. Got to know the Lord when I was 5, and at the age of 19, joined the missions force, left my country, and joined YWAM, Youth with a Mission, with Mercy Ships for 3 years, and been in Asia, and did church planting in Africa. I lived in Togo, West Africa, for 4 years, and so been all over the world, and in 2000 came with YWAM to Kansas, and from there on made it down to southern Missouri, and moved in here in 2001. and got a call to come to St. Paul's as a city missionary, and then been here since 2018. So that's a super fast flyover
that
of my life.
That is exciting. Now, let me ask you this. Do you wear wooden shoes?
It's funny you ask, and I'm laughing because they just moved my office upstairs at the church. And guess what my decorative items are? One of my church members gave me a pair of wooden shoes that he found at a yard sale, and now they are proudly placed in my office. And you can put all kinds of things inside wooden shoes, so they serve as my marker holder. Uh-huh. I've got some and some other Dutch orange paraphernalia that relate to our soccer teams and all that stuff.
So, well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, so yeah. We'll have to all come and visit you at St. Paul's
you have
free
to.
Church.
And the wooden shoes actually fit me, so I can walk in
amazing.
Them. Amazing. But they are very annoying because they're wooden. So they make the clonk, clonk on the floor. So I'm on the upper floor, and so any offices down below will not be happy with me wearing my wooden shoes. So they stay on the shelf for now.
Pastor Marco Van Routen is my guest, City Missionary of St. Paul's Eve Free Church. Now, we talked a little bit about the regional pastoral collaboratives. What a great idea. Now, let's talk about prayer in the city, or, you know, we could really call it the greater metro area.
That's
can't
right.
We, Pastor
that
Van
would
Roten.
Be much more appropriate. Metro St. Louis.
Actually metro
legal.
St. Louis, rather than citywide. Let's
yes.
call it Metro St. Louis.
There you go. I like that.
Tell us about the second Friday of the month prayer meeting.
Billy Graham says, nothing significant happens without prayer. The Bible says our battle is not against flesh and blood. And so in November, about 20 prayer leaders gathered for an overnight retreat, which is really cool. When you talk about wow. the city and unity, we all gave up our homes for the night. And we were at a retreat center in Wildwood. And just seeking the Lord together, spending time in prayer, in personal reflection, sitting around the bonfire at night and building relationships, but also saying, what could we do together in this city? And we really felt we needed to emphasize local pastors and ministry leaders and pray for them, kind of give them the floor, as well as a time of worship to begin with, a time of reflection and spirit-led prayer with an open microphone when we pray right out of the scriptures. But then also we want to hear from those in each location. So each month we go to a different location on the second Friday of each month at 7 p.m. And we hear from these pastors. They give us the prayer requests, and then we will pray for them. So the next one will be in February. I think it's the 11th at 7 p.m. at Chatham Bible Church with the North County pastors. Pastor Sarah Guy right now is at home with COVID and his entire family, but we hope he'll be out of that.
to host on the
if
second
not, we'll
Friday
probably
in
work
February.
Out some other plan, but there's a lot of churches there. We want to hear from them. We want to pray for these pastors and bless them and pray for the work of unity in our city across the racial divides, and thanking God that there's leaders in the body of Christ that are leading the way.
Now, if you're from Jefferson County, they also have a unity movement there where pastors are preaching sermons directed toward the family for the first three Sundays in February. So that is pretty exciting, too, isn't it?
Isn't that cool? And, you know, it's happening all over the city, and God is stirring this in the hearts of men. There's not one leader or one organization that pulls it. I think it's a divine work that he is doing.
And if you want to learn more about that, we did a show with Tom Kreuter, who's kind of the spearheader of that in Jefferson County. You can look at our KSIV Facebook page, our St. Louis Facebook page. Click on that show and listen to it and learn more, because it is coming up and you can be a part of that. Now, you have that on the second Friday of each month. And then we have Pray for the Lou coming up.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned Tom, because they're actually one of the locations that are part of Pray for the Lou. That's coming up. If you think of the number 314, our area code, mm-hmm. 314, and you can check out all the information you need at prayfortheloo.org. But my friend Kurt Wilson, last year, he had the audacious calling to see us pray in 79 neighborhoods, all 79 of the city.
And it was on a rainy Saturday.
On a rainy Saturday. I don't know if you follow the weather. I remember seeing a picture, because we had an outdoor rally, and I've been helping him in any way I could to put this together. We were supposed to be rained on. We met after the 79 neighborhoods were prayed for in prayer walking. We met on the Delmar Divide, praying for unity in the city, and it was a rainy morning. It was March weather, and there's actually pictures that have been rotating online of the actually weather picture, and there's a circle right around St. Louis where rain all around it. And I'm not an expert on all of that, but it seemed very unique, to put it mildly, that it was dry and everywhere else it was raining as we had
our 79 step. Neighborhoods.
And so this year, he is believing for 300 all across the metro area.
300 neighborhoods.
There's your Jefferson County.
And how many do you have already?
You have to talk to him about the latest, and it's adding daily. But we're very excited also about new churches joining. We heard of some of the larger churches in the St. Louis area. I know he's talking with someone right now that helped connect. And it's just been really cool to see a growing movement of people saying our ultimate answer lies in the heart of man and therefore lies in the power of the cross. You know, when Christ died, I still believe it. There is real resurrection power that changes the heart of man in a way that no other program, no amount of money that you slap against it could ever change the power of the gospel. So we want to come together and say, God, would you come and do that in this city? Would you make us new? Begin in us, begin in the church, begin in our leaders. And so that's what's going to happen on March 14th, believing for 300 locations for prayer walks on that Saturday morning, 3:14. And then we'll have a virtual prayer meeting. We're also asking pastors that Sunday, the 15th of March, to pray on the 24th Psalm. Open wide ye gates to the gateway city, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? And we know who that is, of course, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then prior to that Saturday and Sunday, there is a week, Pray for the Lou Week, where we are praying in various locations, including Hillsboro and others, for this city.
Amazing. PrayForTheLou.org. PrayForTheLou.org. Such a unique name. Pray for the Lou.
Yes.
It's kind of an inviting name.
It's a kind of an inviting. I don't know if this is good to put on the air. I may get myself in trouble, but he got a call from England. You know, the British, I can't do that accent right, but they were worried because the Lou over there, of course, means bathroom. And so, are you praying for your bathroom? It's like, no, this is different. This is America.
Oh, that's
funny. We have a loo that has a different tone. Yeah.
Pray for the loo. PrayForTheLou.org. Hey, we just have a few minutes left, Pastor Van Ralton. What else would you like to share that our listeners here in the greater St. Louis area might want to become a part of?
Well, when it comes to prayer, I'd love to put the 10 days of prayer on your radar screen in September. This is a national movement. 10days.net is the national website. And for St. Louis, it's 10daysstlouis.com, where for the third year in a row, we are praying for 10 days throughout the metro area in various locations for this city. And we're part of a national movement. Last year, I think there were 300 cities in the United States and several hundred around the world that are using these 10 days to pray specifically for our world, our nation, and our cities.
What if people are saying, yeah, I'm listening to this show, but look at the area and look at the nation, and it just seems like things are getting darker and darker. Is prayer really making a difference? Will my prayer make a difference? Do I keep it up? What do I do?
That's a great question, Judy. You know, I love that verse that says, a light shines into the darkness. And my friend JT, Jonathan Tremaine Thomas, when he preached at St. Paul's, used that verse, and it stuck with me ever since, that God loves to show up in dark places. Trouble doesn't discourage God. It actually is an opportunity for him to make his light shine. So when you look at St. Louis, I tell you, believe in the fact that that's actually the very place where God would want to show something miraculous. And I also believe in the power of God's word working in the hearts and minds of people. I serve as a corporate chaplain at one of our companies in the city, and it's been a privilege recently to see someone receive the Lord for the first time, a lady that says, I've always thought that Christianity wasn't for me, and it's a bunch of hypocrites, and it's not real. And once she received the Lord, there was this incredible change in her life and in her heart. And I believe, talk about the power of prayer. We are part of a supernatural move of God in our city that is not afraid of the dark and actually is looking at that as an opportunity to shine his light.
get involved. You can be one of the greatest prayer warriors in our area, and God will use your prayers. Whether you pray 2 words, 20 words, He loves to hear from you. Pastor Marco Van Ralton, City Missionary of St. Paul's E-Free Church in Creve Coeur, has been my guest, talking about a lot of initiatives here in the greater St. Louis area. You can become a part, your church can become a part, and God can use your prayers to revolutionize our area for His glory. Pastor Van Ralton, again, what are those websites?
10daysstlouis.com. That's the number 10.
10daysstlouis.com, and that's right. The number 10.
And then for Pray for the Lou, this March is prayfortheloo.org.
Prayfortheloo.org. So you want to go to either one of those, get involved. Your involvement can make a difference. I'm Judy Redlich. This has been Encounter. Pastor Marco Van Ralton has been my guest. Hasn't this been fun?
It's been good.
Hope you've enjoyed it too. And also, if you're looking for a good home church up in Creve Coeur, St. Paul's E-Free is a wonderful church. Look them up. Thanks again, Pastor Marco, for joining me. See you next week on Encounter. Thanks for joining me.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.